Okay. The topic that I'd like to talk about today, we'll see, maybe today, tomorrow. But the topic of tzedaka and how it's given is surprisingly important. And the chashivas of protecting the dignity of a recipient, which I think we can understand intuitively, is important. But the chashivas that it gets in the sugyas might surprise us a little bit. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. And you know from having seen the Gemaras, you saw them to the end, so you saw references throughout, but especially from the Gemaras on Testament Beis, which make references to giving tzedakah, b'sefer panim yafos, and about the importance of being mefaisel b'dvarim, that you should not only give your money, but you should also have an attitude when you give tzedakah that wins over the person personally, on a personal level. And on Yudamid Beis, so we find a particular focus on protecting the dignity of the individual. And this is an idea that we know the Rambam picked up on when he wrote that one of the highest values of tzedakah is when the person who receives the tzedakah doesn't know who's giving, and the person who's giving the tzedakah doesn't know who he is giving to. The idea of anonymity in tzedakah, a double blind, that there should be the protection of the identity on both sides, so that the kavod of the recipient is protected in both ways. He shouldn't have to confront his giver, and the giver shouldn't know the identity of the recipient, is such a priority. It's a very fascinating idea that should take such a prominent role. And if you had a chance to see, so the Gemaras in Maseches Ksuvos, right? You saw those Gemaras about Mar Okva, which really put a tremendous priority on protecting the dignity of the recipient to a surprising extreme. And part of what I want to try to understand today, and this is something we'll have to take a little bit of a detour first in order to try to appreciate, and that's a part of what I want to try to understand, is how we perceive the prohibition of embarrassing people specifically within the context of tzedakah. And you're probably familiar with the fact, just abstractly, in and of itself, that there is a significant prohibition in halacha of halbanus p'nei chaver v'rabim, that we're not allowed to embarrass other people. But the interweaving of that prohibition with the obligation of tzedakah is striking. And it's possible to be aware of this iser without having any appreciation of just the role that it plays in halachos tzedakah. Because the sugya of Halbanus P'nei Chaver V'Rabim appears many times in Shas. It's most often quoted from the sugya of Bav Metzia, where it appears as part of the topic of Anas Tavarim. That'll be in the Parsha very soon. It appears in the Torah in Parsha's Bahar, towards the end of Sefer Vayikra. So it comes up in that context in Bav Metzia, and that's where it's most well known from. But it appears in Shas a number of places. So it appears in Maseches Psachim, in Maseches Sota, in Maseches Brachos, but also in Maseches Ksuvos, in the Sugyas of Tzedakah. And there, it's kind of shocking just how much of a role it plays, and that we find that Mar Okva, in his efforts to protect the recipient from having to confront him when he was giving him tzedakah, he really even put his life at risk. And just to understand not only the whole halacha of halbanus p'nei chaver v'rabim and the extremes that the halacha seemed to associate with that, and that by itself is a sugya, But then to connect it, Davka, to Staka, that requires its own level of understanding. And the fact that our Gemara also seems to pay attention to that as well. And various references, which maybe are not as dramatic, but are also significant. And our Dapim here on Tesimid Beis and Yudimid Beis and scattered throughout. So that's also something that we want to try to understand. And you saw also the Gemara Maseches Chagiga. You saw that statement about Rav Yanai. Right, that was on the list this morning. Right, so what did you see from that? Right, somebody help me out. So what does that Gemara seem to indicate about the relationship between the two, Max?
That embarrassment is somewhat higher than tzedakah as a concern.
Okay, how do you get that conclusion? That does sound like that, right? How do you get that conclusion?
He says explicitly, it's like better that you didn't do tzedakah than embarrass the person that way.
Because Rav Yanai saw somebody give tzedakah in a way that brought embarrassment on the individual, and he said, better you hadn't even done it. Right? Not just at all, you did a good thing and a bad thing, but it would have been better had you not given tzedakah at all.
And
yes, yes. Yeah, you're asking a question? You're saying,
I'm saying it's a general thing. That doesn't need to be a possible. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be.
If you have a rishus, you shouldn't do it if it involves you doing something else.
If it's a rishus?
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're asking, you're saying.
I'm saying. Isn't that true?
Is that. Or, you're saying that this is. You know this already, you're saying.
Yeah.
Are you calling stalker rishus, or you're saying that this is an example, that this is a voluntary instance of stalker?
General.
I still can't tell if you're asking if you're saying
what? No, I'm saying.
You're saying that you know this already. You're saying that this is.
Yeah.
So you're making a statement. Right?
Or it's that's a question.
You're saying that you understand this, Gemara, because it's a.
I'm saying it's not such a chiddush.
It's not a chiddush. You're saying that this sounds self evident that he could have found other ways to give tzedaka, so he didn't have to do this one, and since it would have been embarrassing, so it's not so obvious. So it's interesting that you take it as self-evident. The Marsha over there, you saw the Marsha? Right? The Marsha raised the question that he thought actually that it's not only not obvious but not necessarily clear why it should be true, because the Marsha raised the issue of asei dochalos asei. So if we have an asei of staka, so why shouldn't we say that, all right, so here you have a clash between the mitzvah asei and the los asei of embarrassing people. So why don't we say that the mitzvah sasei should take priority? So to that, maybe Yossi will say, well, you don't perceive this as a chiyuvis in this sense, because it's not clearly obligatory in this moment. There are other times you could do the tzedakah. This is not imperative on you in this moment. So therefore, it's not a chiyuvis, which is essentially what the Marsha says. That his answer is that Efshel Kayim Shneim, which means that you either could have found a way to do it without embarrassing him, which isn't the same as what you're saying, that he could have skipped the stalka opportunity, but he could have found a way to do it without violating the law. Or maybe you could say that stalka opportunity isn't necessarily imperative, because that aspect of the puzzle goes back to our original discussion of when is stalka specifically a thief on you or not, when does the obligation devolve upon you? Even more so, the whole question of when are the lavin relevant. If they're lavin are relevant, that would answer the question of itself, right? If we say that the los sikvots and los amates were applicable, so then it would be not just an assay, it would be an assay and a los assay, an assay and two los assays, and then we would say ready that ein los assay docha assay velos assay, los assay vi assay. So that would mean already then you should give the tzedakah, that would actually strengthen the question. So that wouldn't really help us one way or another. But in any event, so the Marsha does seem to assume that tzedakah is obligatory here and raises the question and answers it that way. But it's certainly very striking here that the premise seems to be that the embarrassment that the recipient underwent in this situation completely invalidated the mitzvah. So much so that Rav Yanai is saying, better for you not to get involved in the first place. And that is actually less striking than the story in the Gemara in Ksubas, if you saw that Marukva seems to put his life at risk rather than embarrass the recipient. And that is itself more striking even than the Gemara in Bav Metzia, where the Gemara seems to derive it from a story in the Torah. It's a Gemara there, just to give the background. So the Gemara in Bav Metzia tells us that there's a prohibition to embarrass people in public, and that it's a very serious prohibition. So the Gemara says that it's worse than other things. How do you know? You see some stories there that David HaMelech, so he had a hard time trying to get past the scandal of the whole episode with Bathsheba, and that people would try to embarrass him in public, as tends to happen when you're a politician with a scandal. And he would try to give a shiur about something completely unrelated, and people would pipe up with questions, and they say, yeah, that's a fascinating shiur about the Malach Shem Tzricha L'Gufa and Bavar Shem Eskabi. So what's the onesh for somebody who gets involved with a suffocatious ish? So he'd say, oh, it's an interesting question. Well, they're chayiv skila, but they can, the chayiv misa, but at least they can do tshuva, and they're the chelek in Olam Haba. But somebody who embarrasses somebody in public has no chelek in Olam Haba. So take that. So the Gemara says, so you see from there that embarrassing somebody in public is worse than being involved with a suffik eisushis. So that you don't find brought lahalacha, if I'm not mistaken, but it's not the usual kind of scenario that comes up so often. But the Gemara does bring another case which does get brought by some. And the Gemara then goes on to say that Noach lo la'adam shi'afil atzmo l'kivshin shel eish v'al yalb p'nechav erev rabim, that it's actually preferable for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace rather than embarrass somebody in public. So how do you know that? So the Gemara tells the story of Tamar. So there's a lot to try to figure out about that story. It's very mysterious. And the Mefarshim in Chumash and Mefarshim on the Gemara have a very hard time, and I can't really explain it in a satisfactory way. But essentially what seems to be happening is that Tamar is on trial because it looks like she had been Mizana. She was basically waiting for Yibum, for the pre-Torah version of Yibum. She had been married already to two of Yehuda's sons, and she was now pregnant in a mysterious way, and we know what the truth was, that she was actually pregnant from Yehuda, and Yehuda didn't realize that that was who the woman was, and so she was on trial on the assumption that it was somebody else. And she was not willing to come forward and identify that Yehuda was the father. And she was only willing to clue him in a private way, so that he was given the option to come forward and identify himself. And apparently, if he didn't take the clue, if he wasn't going to identify himself, then she was not going to identify him. And apparently, she would have let herself die. She would have let herself die and be burnt rather than embarrass him. So the Gemara takes that to mean that Noach lo l'adam, it's preferable for a person, she'yapil atzmo l'kivshin shalesh, she'yalb b'nei chaver b'rabim. She should throw herself into a fiery furnace rather than embarrass someone else. There is one alternative interpretation, I believe Yehuda HaChassid understood, that it wasn't actually that she was going to be executed, but that she was going to be branded. That the fiery furnace was not going to actually to kill her, but was to brand her. That was the consequence in those times. But most understand it to mean actually to die. And she was apparently ready to do that rather than to embarrass Yehuda in public. So there's a lot that's very, very difficult about that story. And just on the surface, the whole idea that one should sacrifice his life rather than embarrass someone in public is difficult enough. And that is something that the Rishonim talk about, that the Acharonim talk about. But before you even get there, a part of what's difficult is that even if you accept that as a possible conclusion, just the story in and of itself wouldn't seem to be an appropriate test case. Because as some of the Svarim discussed, and Rav Asher Weiss talks about this in his commentary on Chumash and his essays on Chumash and Parshas Vayeshev, that even if one were to say that the Isser of Havanas Pnei Chaver Berabim is literally Hari Valyavor, that you can't do it even to save your own life, but in the context of justice, in the context of a trial, that you're not allowed to clear your name, you're not allowed to identify the guilty party because it's going to embarrass them. Every trial is going to embarrass a guilty person. And to say that you can't identify the actual guilty party because it's going to cause embarrassment, it seems impossible to say. That's a very, very difficult conclusion. So it's a difficult Gemara, and that's what's very hard to explain in a satisfactory fashion. It can't be true, lahalacha, that that's the case. So it seems like this was some kind of midas chasidus on the part of Tamar, that part. And therefore, what do you do with the fact that the Gemara is using it as a lesson? It's very difficult, especially then the language of the Gemara is not that you're obligated to do this, but noach lo, that it's preferable. So maybe that's part of the point, but still then, what's the takeaway? It's very, very difficult. So that part is difficult enough. But setting aside that challenge, but just the idea that there is some kind of a Hari Valyavor here, that apparently the Isra of Havanas Pnei Chaver Berabim is such that one should give up his life rather than commit it, is itself striking. There's another source in Chazal that also sounds like this, that when Yosef was about to reveal himself to his brothers in Parshas Vayigash, so there's a Medrash that also sounds like it's making a similar point, because the Medrash has a discussion about the fact that before Yosef revealed himself to his brothers to tell them who he was, so he sent away his bodyguards because this was going to be a very awkward situation already. And for anybody else to be present when he told them who he was, so that was going to be embarrassing to them. So he sent away the bodyguards. And that was risky because it could be that if the bodyguards weren't there, so then the brothers would say, well, this is pretty awkward, but at least we can kill him and escape. So let's do that. So then that'll have to be our plan. So because he wanted to save them the embarrassment of having some stranger present, so he put his life at risk. And it's a machlokes in the Medrash whether they did a good thing or a bad thing. So that also brings up this possibility that maybe it's worth risking your life in order to avoid embarrassing somebody. It's a slightly different kind of model also. So the challenges of the specifics of those situations aside, but what is the logic of saying that there is some kind of Yahari Balyabur here? So first I should emphasize, do not try this at home. Do not assume la halacha that embarrassing people in public is Yahari Balyabur for practical purposes. But what is the logic behind it? What is even the premise to have such a discussion? So it seems to flow from the fact that the Gemara over there in Bava Metzia, the Gemara draws the comparison that embarrassing people is compared on some level to Shfichas Damim, to murder. So we have to try to understand, what does that mean? Is that a literal comparison? Are we actually equating embarrassing people with murder? The Gemara has a physiological indication. The Gemara says that the blood leaves the face. But presumably that doesn't mean to say that it really is the same thing. It's a temporary blanching. That idea of blanching could explain why the Gemara called it halbanas pnei chaver berabim. Halbanas, literally translated, would mean whitening of the face, which is interesting because normally when somebody gets embarrassed, we talk about them blushing. And blushing means turn red. So it's interesting that the word the Gemara uses is halbanas penechavero, so whitening is not what we normally think of. We normally think of reddening. So it could be, happens to be that there are some girsos that actually have ha'adamas penechavero, but it's certainly more common to see halbanas penechavero. So some explain that's actually a more intense embarrassment. That the idea of somebody blushing with embarrassment, that is the milder initial phase when somebody's a little bit embarrassed, so the blood rushes to their face and they blush. But then, when they're really mortified, and mortified comes from the word mort, to be dead, mortal. So that means when they really feel mortification, they really feel the blood then draining, so we call it to blanch, to turn white with real humiliation. That's a much more powerful form of embarrassment. So that idea that there really is a deep humiliation that's somehow equal to death, so do we really mean to say that it's literally equal to death for all intents and purposes? So when it comes to murder, literal physical murder, so we know there is a din of yahari v'alyavor. So if somebody says, shoot that person or I'll shoot you, so we're not allowed to do it. We're not allowed to kill another person, even to save our own lives. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that my chazis, t'damach t'dan, sumakit fei midam t'dan, who gave you the right to say that your blood is redder than his blood. I can't kill somebody else, even to save my own life. So maybe when it comes to embarrassing people, if we really would say that it's actually equated to murder, so then I couldn't do it, even to save my own life. So is that what we mean? Or should we say that, no, it's not a literal comparison. It's a way of saying it's a very severe avera, and the pain is tremendous, but it doesn't actually equal death in the literal sense. And to actually take it to that conclusion that it should be Harig Bal Yavor, that's too far. So that's apparently under the surface here. Are we really making that equation? Or is this just an expression of seriousness? And we know that Chazal very often have languages like this where they compare things that we don't really mean to say they're actually equal, and that we would follow through with all the implications. And maybe that's what's happening here as well. So that's the question. Now, to say that it is literal, we could also understand it to mean that it's literal because it may actually mean that one could lead to another. We certainly know that in some instances, it's certainly possible, Rahman al-Islam, that sometimes people have actually physically died because of humiliation. That they have found that, Shem Yishmor, that the situation of deep humiliation has led them to the feeling that death in the physical sense is the preferable option. So maybe that's what the Gemara means, that we're talking about such a situation where it really could lead to the physical reality. So what exactly is the Gemara getting at when it makes that comparison? Zach?
Wouldn't that be like a rodi, though, and then you can kill the person who's... Yeah.
So that's the question. So that far, nobody goes. All right, so that's the question. So how far do you want to go with this comparison? And I was actually writing about this somewhere recently because it's interesting that there are people who have, especially in modern times, and this comparison has been drawn in other places as well. You're probably familiar in the news a few weeks ago, there was a public incident where somebody punched somebody else, hit somebody else because of an insulting comment. And there were those who claimed, okay, but embarrassing people is also like hitting them, is also like killing them, so therefore you should be able to hit somebody who embarrasses you. So what's the difference? Chazal seemed to be behind that. So we still, even though we have this whole discussion, there still is a difference. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, who does take the comparison very seriously, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, in the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, where he does say, responding to what you just said, that nobody ever went that far. Even though we'll see, they took it pretty far. But no one ever said, it never was Eil Hadas to anybody, that if somebody is coming to embarrass you, you can kill them as a rodef. Although you can embarrass them as a rodef, apparently, because I would imagine that was David HaMelech's response when the heckler said, you know, what's the punishment for somebody who's involved with a Suffolk Ish, and he retorted back that they're not going to lose their Chelik Nom Hava like you are. So he was probably embarrassing the person back. So I assume to embarrass the Rodef Levayish that much you can do, but to kill somebody who's coming to embarrass you, so Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, it was never able on anyone's das that much you can do. But falling short of that, the comparison might go pretty far.
Where's that Gemara?
Which Gemara?
The David.
David Metzia Daf Nun Ches. And a few other, the general Gemara about it being like Sheikh's Dam appears in a few places, but the whole version with David HaMelech is over there in David Metzia Daf Nun Ches. So, is it true that it's Yehar V'Yavar? So again, I would emphasize, don't try this at home. But there is, it does seem to be a machlokus about it. That the Meiri, among those who are most explicit on either side, so the Meiri in a few places, and so in terms of where these sources are, so this was on the list this morning, so the Marbot Mithi was on the list this morning, right?
Yeah, I couldn't find this Meiri, but yeah.
But the Meiri is also in a few places, Meiri is in Sota and in Brachos. But alright, so we'll have to, nobody was sending around sources this morning, and we're a little slow on our joint source sharing, but so the Meiri in a few places, he writes explicitly that it's not literal, that the Gemara never meant to actually compare them in a full sense. It says Derech Sachlis and Derech Azhara, that it's just a way of talking, and we know certainly there are lines in the Gemara where it says X is like Y. It doesn't really mean that it's fully like Y, and that it has all the, you know, we say that a person who is a Balgaiva is like an Ovid of a Zara, so we don't mean that the Balgaiva is Chayav Misa. So, when we say that somebody who speaks Lashon Hara is Kineged B'Givul Chamuris, so we don't say that Lashon Hara is a hard way out, or otherwise we'd all be in pretty big trouble. So, clearly the Gemara has statements like this, though we don't take literally. So, here the Meiri says, this is something which is Derech Azhara, it's not literal. On the other side, those who do take it literally, so the most explicit is the Shari Tshuva. You saw that, that was on the list, right? The Shari Tshuva does seem to take it literally. And understand that, it's like we said, it's basically Abizrayu de Ritzicha. That this is a aspect of Ritzicha, and therefore it has the rules of Ritzicha. There's a Tosfos in Masechet Sota, which the Brisker Rav and the others understood as being in this camp, although it's a little bit ambiguous. The Tosfos raises the question that the Gemara in Sanhedrin has the list of the Yehari Vayavars. The Gemara says that there are three Yehari Vayavars in general. Three Averis, which one is obligated to give up his life for. Gilarayah Shvichas Damim, one of Azara. So, why is it that embarrassing people isn't on the list? So, Tosu says, because it's not Beferish in the Psukim. And the Gemara was only listing that which is Beferish. So, you would have thought that an easier answer is that it's not on the list because it's not really literal. That would have been a much easier answer. So the fact that Tosfos doesn't say that, so it says the Brisker Rav in his Kedushim to Sota, that shows you that it is literal. That shows you that it really is Yari Vayavo. Now, the problem is, if we're going by the answers that Tosfos doesn't give, so there's another easy answer that Tosfos doesn't give. Now, what's the other easy answer that Tosfos could have given and didn't? Right, the other easy answer Tosfos could have given is, why is it not on the list? Because it is on the list. If the whole point, right, Levy, you want to say?
The whole point is that it's, like, killing someone. That right. Actually, you know.
So that's already on the list.
Yeah, then Chamei Avraham would be, you know, a subcategory. Sort of
exactly, right. If it's all subsumed under Ritzicha, so then it's there already. It's all a part of Shichas David. So if we're going by what Tosfos doesn't say, it's very difficult because there's two good answers Tosfos is leaving on the table. So it's hard to know exactly what to do with this Tosfos. And Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, his Tshuvas B'nei Banim, he has a tshuva where he tries to analyze this Tosfos. He thinks Tosfos is not saying like the Brisker Rav said. So it's hard to know what to do with this Tosfos. But Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, actually, in that same tshuva we mentioned before, where he says that no one ever thought that you could kill a Rodev, but otherwise he thought that the comparison is pretty literal, and he thought that basically everyone did take the comparison literally, he writes, except for the Meir, that the rest did take the comparison literally. And based on that, he said that he doesn't understand why we wouldn't say that somebody should be Machal Shabbos to prevent somebody from being embarrassed. That if embarrassment is like death, so for Machal Shabbos to save somebody's life, so then we should be Machal Shabbos to prevent somebody from embarrassment also. And he's not sure why we don't say that. Happens to be, there is a Sefer of Tshuvas, the Tshuvas Shem Yishimim. So he writes that he thinks he would be Machal Shabbos to save somebody from embarrassment. He didn't have the same influence as the Tshuvas Menachem Shlomo, as the Tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Zalman. But Rav Shlomo Zalman was not ready to say that, but he wasn't sure why not. He said, L'maisa, if it was only Chil Shabbos Drabbanan, so then we actually could suspend that because there is a general din, which we'll come back to in a second. The Gemara does say, also in a bunch of places, that we do allow violation of dinim derabanan for kavod abrios. So kavod abrios about the dignity. So if someone's dignity is threatened, we would allow a violation of a din derabanan. So if we're talking about chil Shabbos derabanan, so that we would do. So that's one thing. But if it was Chil Shabbos Daraisa, so that he's not ready to allow. But he's not sure why not. So there are a couple of approaches to explain why not. So I think probably the simplest approach is to say, I once saw an article in one of the journals that was written by a Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Pinchas Levinson, who was addressing the whole question about Yehoreg V'Yavor. And the answer is probably applicable to the Shabbos issue also. And his general mahalach was that the language of the Gemara is, again, it's not really phrased as chiyuv, but the language of the Gemara is noach lo la'adam. It's preferable for a person. So it's a very unusual language. And he thinks what the Gemara is saying is that the whole idea of Noach Lola Adam saying it's theoretically possible. It's theoretically possible that the situation that you're involved in right now, that it could be that the humiliation is such that a person may prefer death to undergoing that humiliation. But you can't ever really know that in advance because there's so many variables in every situation, how it plays out, that you can't really know that a person would actually prefer death to what they are going to undergo in that particular situation. So the possibility is always there. But to say that a person should martyr himself rather than let that happen to somebody else, to say you should take some drastic, irreversible step, we couldn't actually paskin like that lahalacha, because you can't ever know that you're dealing with that kind of a situation. It's possible, because there are situations of humiliation that rise to that level. But to say that this is that kind of a case, that a person should take a drastic step in order to prevent it, that we can't actually say. So it's probably also true in the Chilul Shabbos question, that there are situations of humiliation that are literally life-threatening. And presumably, if one had a way to really ascertain that that would be the case, so let's say, for example, Chas V'Shalom, if somebody really had a reason to think that the situation that was about to happen would put somebody in a life-threatening, humiliating situation, which could happen, and if somebody really believed that that was what was going to happen and that they could prevent it through an act of Chol Shabbos, so then presumably they should be. They should do that. But that's not the kind of thing you're going to find codified by halacha, because it's not the kind of scenario that you can anticipate or predict, and therefore it's not something that would be a matter of recorded psak. But it's theoretically true. And presumably if a person found himself in such a situation, let's say if a therapist knew that that was the kind of situation that they were able to see unfolding, they probably, certainly, you know, obviously, it goes without saying, and maybe it should be said, you know, certainly would go without saying that if somebody knew a person was, Rahman al-Islam, in a potentially suicidal situation that they could prevent with an act of Chol Shabbos, so for sure they would be obligated to do that. So certainly a pikuach nefesh situation. So if somebody was about to be humiliated in such a way that could lead them into such a situation, so then they would be Mechal Shabbos for that. But to say that every act of embarrassment is on that level, so much so that that would be the recorded halacha, so I don't think that's how we would imagine. Somebody spills spaghetti on their pants, so that's embarrassing, but to say that that's equal to Shvichas Davim all the time, we wouldn't necessarily treat it like that. We wouldn't assume that every act of Halbanos Panim is equal to Shvichas Damim in the absolute sense. And I would imagine that's probably the answer to the question, I would think. But overall, there are other discussions as well as far as how far to take the comparison. There's a lot of discussion of Psak, of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger, in general, was a very independent thinker, and he had a lot of fascinating Psakim in his writings. So in his Psakim in his Haris on Shulchan Aruch called Chachma Shlomo, in the very end of Choshen Mishpat in Tav Chavav, so he writes that one is not mechuyev to save somebody else's life if in doing so they would humiliate themselves. Which it sounds like it's a literal version of this comparison, that just like you're not obligated to sacrifice your life to save somebody else's life, so too, you're not obligated to sacrifice your life in the sense of humiliating yourself in order to save somebody else's life. This was not accepted by later poskim. Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about it in that tshuva also, which, by the way, is the tshuva Mincha Shlomo Siman Vav, and others as well take on this tshuva of take on this psak of the Chachma Shlomo, and they don't accept it. Happens to be that the logic that the Chachma Shlomo has to get to this conclusion is actually coming from a different place. He has a different svara in order to get to it, but either way, it was not accepted by the later poskim in this conclusion.
Just going back to the source of Tom, my father, is a good chance he was going to kill himself.
No, is that the case? Not that we have any indication. And again, the facts of the Tamar Yehuda case are very difficult to
say.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really adequately explain the reference to the story in Chumash. And again, to say that would, like Rav Asher writes, to say that that would be the rule for somebody on trial, it would be a very difficult policy.
It's general halacha ma'aseh.
Mm-hmm.
Saying what is the
yeah, if somebody's on trial, in general?
Whatever situation.
Also, in general, we don't assume like this, la halacha. We assume that that's. But, you know, it says in Moser Haskell that most of us, the situations where we are confronted with embarrassing people, it's usually not a situation where our lives are online in order to decide whether to do it or not. So the fact that when, even when it is a situation of life or death, there were still poskim who thought it was still what to worry about. So that's a big Moser Haskell for us, because usually it's not a situation of life or death and we're casual about other people's dignity. So all the more so, in those situations we should be ultra careful. So the truth is, there's a lot more to say about this, so I guess we will have to continue this tomorrow, maybe give you a little bit more to look at, and then we'll have to see how much more tzedakah we have to give before we...